if you're going to go ask for capital or you think you're going to finance your business in a certain way, make sure that you are schooled and versed in what you're asking for and you're asking the right people the right questions.
That was Gwen Griggs, Chief Executive and Managing Director of Advos Legal. Gwen is our guest for episode 3 of Innovate Jax, the podcast where we hear the stories of the creators, innovators, and entrepreneurs who will help elevate Jacksonville as a leading Southeastern city of innovation. I'm your host, Kate Warnock. Now, on to the interview. Hi, everyone. This is Kate Warnock, and I am so excited to have our latest Innovate Jax podcast guest with us today. Welcome, Gwen Griggs.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Well, Gwen, you know, we first heard about you through a mutual friend of ours, Miss Mary Harvey. So thank you so much, Mary, for that introduction. And she was telling me that if we were talking about innovative people in Jacksonville, that you are, you know, an obvious choice. So in researching a little bit about your background, I see that you are the Chief Executive and Managing Director for Advos, this amazing legal firm out here in Ponte Vedra Beach. And we're going to learn a little bit about that, but we're going to set the stage a little bit first. You know, and looking at your background, I know that you graduated from UNF and you got your JD with honors, I'll add, from University of Florida. So you have had a long and distinguished legal career here in Jacksonville, but I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about your background and your childhood?
Sure.
Are you a native to begin with?
I am not. I think that's it's a common thread, I think, for a lot of people who are here. My father was in the military, so we moved every year until I was 7. Then I really grew up in Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
And you and I were sharing a story earlier about when we graduated from high school, where we wanted to go to school. I really, really wanted to go to California. And my mother said, no way. Right? But I wanted to get, frankly, as far away from Augusta, Georgia. I love the city, but right. I wanted to be, you know, a big adventure in my life. And knew that I did not like cold weather. So D.C. seemed about as far as I could go.
Okay.
And get far enough away, but not be too terribly cold. So I started school at George Washington University.
Okay.
Went there, and it snowed the year I was there.
Oh,
blizzard.
No.
Blizzard. It was freezing cold.
Oh, no. Right? Georgia girl was not too happy with that, right?
I didn't work. My brother was in the Navy. So really, the Navy is what brought me here. He was he had an apartment here in Ponte Vedra.
Oh, how about
it? So I came down here for the summer. That was the theory. And at the end of the summer, I said, I don't really need to go back to D.C. I don't need to pay the tuition. And I, you know, ultimately I want to practice law in Florida. So I went to, it's kind of a, I think, a great story for Jacksonville. I went to FCCJ for a year.
Okay.
So I could become a resident of the state of Florida. Then went to UNF to finish my undergrad degree, always knowing I wanted to be a lawyer. So it was really just like, how do I get to law school?
Okay.
And that's it. And, met a boy who brought me back to Jacksonville after I graduated.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah, after you graduated from Gainesville,
from
UF.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was sort of commuting back and forth a little bit.
Okay.
And, but yes, that's our story.
How about it?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And so here you are, you know, in reviewing the career positions you have held, Gwen, you know, it's very obvious you caught the entrepreneurial bug along the way. So I was wondering, you know, you kind of took that traditional trajectory coming out of, you know, really prestigious law school with honors. You know, you went up through the ranks through kind of the classic law firms here in Jacksonville, took a corporate position. You yourself were a managing partner in a law firm along
right.
the way. But then
yes.
you took this big leap and started Advos.
Yes.
What was it that made you? Why?
Sure,
why make that
sure.
leap?
Yes. So I'll tell you, the reason I became a lawyer was inspired by Thurgood Marshall, so Brown versus Board of Education, and the belief that a lawyer really could make a big difference in our world. Graduate from law school, recruited by some great law firms, had this opportunity to learn from fantastic lawyers and took that. But I always thought, like, what can I do to make a big, big difference? And in a large law firm representing large companies, you feel like you're part of a bigger system.
Right.
It's harder to feel like you're making a big impact. And sort of early 2000s, started paying, you know, involved in the chamber and the Women's Business Center, and started seeing how, if you could connect those business owners with more information and you know, just the available path for them,
mm-hmm.
they they can make a big difference. That's sort of Margaret Mead quote, mm-hmm. right? Don't never doubt that a small group of people can change the world.
In absolutely.
Fact, it's the only one that ever has. So
absolutely.
That was the inspiration for being involved in entrepreneurship and innovation and really feeling like the knowledge I had can make a difference.
Terrific. You know, well, we recently had a chance to talk to Brian Kornfeld, yes. another Innovate Jack's podcast guest, and I know you know yes. him and his company, yes. Synapse. And he spoke about the importance of confidence in his own career. Now, it sounds to me like you never questioned your ability, you never questioned your direction. You knew you wanted to be an attorney at a relatively young age, but has confidence ever been lacking or did you ever feel like you really had to take a leap into the unknown? Was Advos
right,
your big leap right. or was it maybe something else?
You know, that's a great question. It's interesting. There's a part of me that feels like Advos was just an idea whose time has come, right? And I almost couldn't not do it.
All right.
Right. So I had experience in the business world and watched the way the metrics that businesses follow and continual improvement and use of technology and leveraging technology. And then I knew the system of kind of the business model of lawyering, mm-hmm. which is typically bill by the hour,
right,
which works if you're a professional buyer of legal services, general counsel buying, they know exactly what they're buying. It doesn't work really well for early stage or even middle market companies because they're not professional buyers of legal services.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really know how to price it. They don't know what mm-hmm. to expect. They don't know necessarily what is the right thing to invest in. And so there was this missing link in it that we really felt kind of uniquely qualified to jump in and help with.
Well, so what a great transition then. So let's really talk about Advos Legal. I mean, you even have a story around the name. So let's start
there, and
then we'll right. kind of unpack what
sure.
this amazing firm does.
Sure. So it's a great question. Good story. Asked a client when I was launching the firm, what do they appreciate about what we do and what we do uniquely? And heard advocacy and strategy. So really tried to figure out a way to combine those two words and have a little bit of a trademark background too. So I knew I wanted it not to be Griggs and something, mm-hmm. right? I wanted it to have its own brand and it wasn't about me. It was mm-hmm. about what we were building. The other really interesting thing is fast forward a year later and I had done some Google searching initially, but didn't find it. And it just, I'm frankly paying my ad valorem taxes. And I think to myself, there has to be a meaning for Advos. And if you put a space between AD, you put a space between the D and the V, it means unto you in Latin. So, which is really our ethos. Like we definitely built it with the idea of what would we like our legal services to be?
Right.
How would we like that to be delivered?
Right, right.
So client centric around it. So just a those interesting little stories and, you know, how we got there.
Well, I think, you know, it obviously speaks to the fact, the opportunity that you put, you know, you saw the opportunity, you put the thought around how do you design a law firm that really does serve this really unique client base. These are not necessarily seasoned professionals who know and have tons of experience with hiring and retaining lawyers. They're looking for that, you know, scale and
right.
how do we get there? And so you design your agency around, you know, you yourselves took that entrepreneurial approach and you have it right there on your website that you are, you know, you use the agile method approach and you even have a software platform that helps you track your projects and your goals. And so that's what you're billing against. It's not, again, like you said, a billable hour sort of system. So how has that really translated for you in the years that you've been in business? You yourself are an entrepreneur. You yourself have scaled.
Right,
how
right.
does that help you be a better attorney for companies who are in that same exact position?
Right. There certainly is the context of we know what our clients are going through mm-hmm. because we have big plans and big dreams for where we're going and, you know, gobble up books and share books and stories of, you know, successful companies. And that helps because our clients understand we know exactly what they're going through and the way. And we learn that sort of one of the beautiful things is it's very symbiotic, right?
Right.
We learn from them
right.
and think about, you know, oh, that worked well, that didn't work well, I'm going to adopt that, or I don't want to adopt that, or you know, our ethos is not quite that, but it is this. So we get an opportunity to learn from that and then give it back. And
right.
you know, seeing all the different companies we get to represent, we really have the privilege of representing, like, there's some collective wisdom in that
right.
that
right.
we can then share with with a client.
And I imagine, again, if what you're, what you, going back to what is it that your clients are looking for, it's, you know, advocacy, strategy, being fluent in the challenges that they're facing because you yourself are designed to represent, you know, and be right. an entrepreneur, you know, absolutely. It certainly gives you that authenticity to help mm-hmm. provide that path forward. Mm-hmm. So great story and such a unique kind of law firm. I think another thing that's really unique about Advos, I don't know if it's completely true. Are you all women as far as the legal representation? I know that you have male employees, but you know, what is your representation mix?
Yeah, it's interesting. We, not by design at all, but yes, we have 7 lawyers on our team right now who are all women. And
are you the only firm in Jacksonville that has that kind of...
That's probably true, although I will say one of the lawyers is in Lakeland and one is in Tampa. So we have 5 lawyers here.
But right.
Yeah, I think it's pretty remarkable.
I wonder, did you encounter any kind of headwind when you were first launching? You know, you have a co-founder, another woman.
Right.
Was there any kind of headwind that you encountered being a, you know, a woman-powered firm, you know, or were people receptive to you? This was back in 2015. We're not talking Stone Ages, but we are talking, you know, a few years ago.
Right.
Tell me about that experience.
Right. That's, if there was, I just ignored it. Right. It didn't bubble up for me. It didn't notice it. I think I wasn't envisioning that it was going to end up having 9 out of 10 people, women on the mm-hmm. team. We just picked people who were attracted to what we were doing and the way we were doing it. And it was really important to us that the culture matters a lot.
Yes.
And we wanted to provide a place where people enjoyed their work. We work with phenomenal companies. So that makes, you know, it really engages our lawyers because they believe in the mission of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so it was just a bit symbiotic. I will say, it's sort of tying together your question about confidence in 2015. I started a law firm in 2003.
Right.
And I don't know if it was being a woman or the combination of being a woman and looking fairly young, that it was harder then. That, you know, fast forward, you know, 18 years or so mm-hmm. now, and mm-hmm. it whatever reservations, whatever concerns, I think that's, it's part of the story we tell ourselves, and I just didn't tell myself that story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other interesting thing, when I was kind of, you would share some of these questions, and I was thinking about it. I don't remember what year it was. Probably 2010, and I was at a buyout conference with a friend of mine who's in private equity. We were looking to raise a fund. And I was having this conversation. I'd never been to a buyout conference before. I was having this conversation with him. How are we going to be memorable or distinctive?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Gwen, look at you and look at this room. People are going to, you're going to be memorable, right? You're going to stand out.
Right.
So I think we can all tell ourselves stories, and we all have different gifts and assets, and like, use what you have.
Right.
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 And we're memorable, right? In a world of finance and law, like, there's not, women are the minority.
Right.
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 So
do you think that, you know, being part of a military family, did that kind of help create that, you know, that inner sense of self? You know, as you said, you lived in 7 different places, the first 7 years, formative years of your life.
Right.
That's a lot of starting overs. How is it that maybe, you know, is there a connection that you can make from, you know, that early part of your life to, you know, just not believing the stories that might have been told and choosing the story that you were going to run
right,
with? You know,
right.
Is there possibly a connection there?
That's an interesting, you know, the other, this may be getting too far afield to the question, but my father passed away when I was 7.
Mm.
And I read a book years later, you know, Ian Lamont wrote that. I think Mary Harvey may have given me, in fact,
how about
talk about
that?
Wow. And in the book, the author had lost her mother, and she talked about having the gift of knowing your own mortality, which is a kind of a deep thought, concept. But I think being young and knowing that our time here is not forever.
Right.
And you can't waste any minute of it.
Right.
Sort of created an urgency in me that I need to learn, I need to grow, I need to always be learning, always be growing. And I think that's part of how I got here.
Wow. So you've been intentional for a long time. You had a lot of practice.
Right. Right.
How about it? Oh, yes. My gosh.
Yeah.
And thank you again, Mary, for, you know, what a role
right.
she's played. So, well, let's talk a little bit then, you know, again, back to, you know, the folks that you hire at this company. You're not necessarily looking for women only, but culture is so important to you. So let's talk a little bit, if you have a second to tell us about, you know, what's the right kind of character trait that, you know, that is a good fit for Advos? And then how does that help play out with the fact that I saw that you all have a Net Promoter Score, which is a measure of loyalty and customer satisfaction, in the high 90s, which is remarkable. For context, folks might know Amazon has a Net Promoter Score I saw on a website this year of 62. And here you are, high 90s. So how does talent translate to an ultimately happy customer?
Right. They're inextricably linked. They're very, very closely aligned. We know that the people that serve our clients are the relationship that the client has, mm-hmm. right? And so if the team enjoys their work, is going to go that extra mile, is going to be the advocate, right? The clients know it. They feel it. They know we care deeply, which is one of our core values.
Right.
Which is unique. I think people think lawyers, if you ask them what their core values, excellence is certainly, it's almost table stakes for us, mm-hmm. right? Excellent. We have to be excellent. Mm-hmm. But going that extra mile, caring deeply, matters a lot. The legal profession, interestingly enough, has a Net Promoter Score of about 19. You know, knowing that, and we, I think it's 93, the last 3 months is what I recall. And we measure it, obviously we use a third party company to measure mm-hmm. that. And we're, if it's falling anywhere, we're actively reaching out to our client to find out, you know, why did they say we were neutral? Mm-hmm. How are we sincere about listening to that feedback, responding to it, letting them know we responded to it, letting our team know this is the feedback we need. Positive and negative, but you learn more from the negative, frankly.
Mm-hmm. So Gwen, if excellence is table stakes, it's probably not if you're getting a less than you know what you're
right.
attempting to get. How is it that you're working with your team on those softer skills? How do you build that? Because I'll tell you, I think that that's given kind of short shrift in many businesses.
Yes.
And look at the differentiator that is for you as a business that's doing extremely well. So how is it that you really focus your team if there is a gap? How do you fill it the right way?
Yeah, we do a lot of check-ins. So weekly check-ins, quarterly check-ins. We call them deep dives on a quarterly basis where we talk to every person on the team.
Mm.
How are things going? We want to hear feedback from them.
Mm-hmm.
We also, what's your career path? Where are you going? What, you know, not just what happened tactically in this last quarter, but where do you want to go? We have a lawyer on our team that I hope she'll be okay with me saying this, but is thinking she wants to ultimately move to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, how are we going to make that happen? So it's listening and knowing that every single person is unique and has a different perspective on what they want in their career and their work. And then you're trying to make sure we're helping them achieve what's important to them.
So it sounds to me you're not just client-centered, you're human-centered.
Absolutely.
You know, it
yes.
really is much as much about, you know, yes. cultivating your team and giving them that ownership of
yes.
the mission
yes.
As it is, you know, assisting those clients and making sure that they scale and succeed too.
Yes, yes. And at a deeper level with sort of our why, part of our why is there are so many lawyers who really don't enjoy the practice of law
hmm.
because of the billable hour requirement. And it's just a game you can never win. I
right.
always think when you sort of step back from it, you took people who worked really, really hard in school, were accomplished people, and then you put them in a system where you only have a certain number of hours. You can't, and you can leverage and you can have other people, but they're doing the same thing, you know, tracking every 6 minutes of their day. And it's a game, there's no scale, there's no real win, and in January you start over,
right?
With
right.
zero. And it's, you know, a lot of people, I think some people can be really successful in that, but there's a lot of people who struggle with that model. And we thought, it doesn't have to be that way. It really, you really can love what you do, right? Thrilled clients and thriving team, part of strong community. Those are kind of our three pillars.
You know, Furcura is we operate in the health space, and we're very aware of our own clients and the folks that we work with. And so there's such a thing as physician burnout. So it sounds to me it's very much the same, you know, a compatible, sort of situation.
Absolutely.
You have these people who are excellent and outstanding and want to, there is a calling to do good, and you plug them into a system that forces them to track every single minute of their day as well. So so it sounds like you've really found a really winning formula for your team here. And it's just doing tremendous things. So,
and I'll brag for a minute. We just were recognized as a great places to work.
Fantastic.
For 2019.
That
so
is
we're really excited about
wonderful.
That.
Congratulations
yeah,
on
you.
That. How many
thank
oh so how many you have seven
we have seven
attorneys,
lawyers,
right?
Three
mm-hmm.
on three operations teams,
okay.
What we call them. And then we're looking to hire two more on the operations side right now. And we're fairly opportunistic about the lawyers, mm-hmm. really. Like if you've gotten connected with us in some way and we think it would be a great fit. We found if you are in-house, that's a great fit because
yeah.
you're focused on getting results.
Right.
And you didn't necessarily get into the habit of tracking your time and
right.
thinking about things in
right.
terms of billable hours.
All right, good to know. Well, you know, let's yes. talk a little bit about operating here in Jacksonville.
Sure.
As I said, you have a long and distinguished career here. What do you think may have changed as far as the innovation ecosystem here in our city from the time you launched Advos to today, especially given the clients that you have? What are you seeing as far as our evolution? Are we making headway? Are we going to be successful in really fostering entrepreneurs and
right,
startups in,
right.
in our part of the world?
I think partly organizations like Synapse, right, are looking at a statewide initiative. I'm also involved in the Florida Venture Forum
yes.
that over the last few years has been doing more and more events here to bring the community together and create collision,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that's one of the challenges in Jacksonville is we are such a big landmass city
right.
that it's hard to create those connections and the collisions and the magic that happens when you're having a conversation with someone about something that you thought was entirely different,
mm-hmm.
but they tell you something you didn't know and connect you with someone.
Right.
So that's been really great to watch. I think out here, I don't know if it's maybe just everyone has a vantage point, right? And we're sitting out here in Ponte Vedra. So we have had the opportunity to meet a lot of people who've moved from other regions of the country and are looking to invest in this community, invest in, you know, they may have exited a company in the Northeast and had reason to come down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really supportive
mm-hmm.
and giving of their time and generous of their time. And I don't know that every community has that, but I have heard some feedback from people who said it was really easy for them to get integrated into this community. They came here from Boston, they moved here, and this community was really, really welcoming to connect them to other people and help them accomplish whatever they were trying to do. If they were investing in a certain type of company,
right.
like, that was certainly an element of it. So I think using what we do well, which there is a little Southern hospitality, right? And I think we've done that well.
It's funny you say that because those same exact words, I think I heard from Brian Kornfeld, who moved back to Tampa from LA, and he said, I'll tell you, you know, folks here aren't threatened and it's not so cutthroat the way you're going to find in those more, you know, the more mature innovation mm-hmm. cities, you know, Silicon Valley and such. He said, people want to see you succeed. And he said, that's a really rare thing. And so it's probably one of those, it is the secret sauce to, you know, quality of life here is drawing those people with
right.
that expertise, but then they plug in here and, you know, it's thrilling to see, you know, a company grow here and really take off. So,
right.
was there anyone in your experience, you know, that really kind of helped inform your legal career, your legal trajectory? Did you have anyone that was kind of in that mentor capacity?
So I would say mentor, probably less lawyers. Although if I talked about a lawyer, I'd say Ken Kirshner. So as a young lawyer, he was sort of an icon in this community of really helping entrepreneurial companies succeed. And he's helped a lot of them locally. And he's continued to be a good friend.
Great.
But I'll also add Carolyn Mathis and Jim Phillip and the group over at Harborview gave us space when this was just an idea. And I had no idea whether it was going to be successful or not. And they, you know, were very, very gracious in letting us camp out there for about 6 months until we realized this idea had legs
yeah.
and and ended up in this space about 4 years ago.
Oh, how about it?
Yeah.
How about it?
A lot of good support.
Well, so again, with the clients that you have, taking kind of like that macro view, are you seeing, you know, any particular field or sector of business that really seems to be getting a lot more attention from our local investors? Or, you know, what's the hot area yes. right now, in your opinion?
And for us, you know, we say high growth entrepreneurs, high growth companies are our clients, and it almost to a single one, almost every single one, it has a tech or tech-enabled platform. So technology is certainly a part of it. And back to your question about what's the difference between 2015 and now,
yeah.
is I think people are getting more and more used to expecting cloud-based services, platform services. You can do things remotely. So a community like Jacksonville that might have had trouble attracting talent or
right.
incorporating that those expertise,
they, right.
you can provide that same service here, and
right.
no one knows exactly where you're located.
Right.
Right. So that I think people are getting more used to it, and from the workforce and the clients, right? You can be wherever mm-hmm. and deliver the work product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a piece of it. And then healthcare, you know, as you know, right? Healthcare is an area that this town has a lot of former Blue Cross Blue Shield folks have gone out to spin out their own ideas. I actually think a lot about HealthBox and the mentoring that they did. So it may not have been that idea took off, whatever they might have mentored, but the team that they mentored then went on to do other things because they had a different level of expertise and knowledge and thinking
right.
than they had before they went through that process. So things like that, incubators and accelerators, people are getting much more used to it. And you know, Y Combinator, all those things. Y Combinator is virtual now. So there's a group here in town that participated in the, you know, virtual Y Combinator. Like that wasn't around a few years ago.
Right, right. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, even though, you know, we may not live, you know, in a giant population that's you know, got MIT down the road, you don't need to because so much of what you're doing, you yourself have partners who are remote and are doing a fantastic job. It doesn't matter where they're physically located, it's about being able to plug in and do that heavy lift as a team.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, terrific.
Absolutely.
You obviously, you know, you from your perspective, you've been watching young companies try to grow for some time. What are the common mistakes that you see pop up, and how is it that you help to intercept those mistakes before they become a real problem?
Right. It's interesting when you start to see so many different companies, you do start to see some themes. If I just put on my legal hat, mm-hmm. I'll say the thing that I see commonly is not being clear about the equity. So founders want to offer equity to their team or to their advisors, and they're not really crystal clear on what that means. And as you can imagine, it's incredibly complex. People hear what they want to hear. So
right.
if they've been offered equity, they think that they know what they've been offered.
Right.
And if you don't get that cleaned up really early on, that can be a really big issue. And then IP ownership. So if you haven't made sure that it's clear that you own all the IP in your company, that can be a real problem down the line. Sort of taking a bit more macro perspective, CEOs, founders, right, are by nature looking for an idea and a problem to solve, and something propelled them to take on this venture, this risky venture from the early stage. And that same personality, it becomes a challenge for them to focus on the thing that's investable idea and monetize and likely to scale. So everything becomes interesting, and they run off in different directions, and we call it butterflying here, because I might have suffered from that same problem.
It's a very, very honest
yes,
answer, Gwen.
Yes. And finally, the solution is finding, if you study any of the traction work, they talk about visionary and integrator. And
mm-hmm.
so finding an integrator and someone who can make sure that execution happens and make sure that we stay aligned on what are the things that are going to move the needle now instead of the dream of the future.
Right.
Right. So it's a great balance, and I think really critical.
And so in your opinion, it's challenging for one person to play both roles then?
I do think it
is. Okay. And so do you ever have a client that really is maybe resistant, you know, having, you know, maybe it's a CEO position and a president, you know, the CEO is that visionary forward focusing, and the president is the one who's going to sustain that business and help the business as it is today grow.
Right.
Do you ever hear pushback on, you know, I can do all things, you know, or are people with your experience and your guidance willing to kind of bend there and take on more folks in leadership roles?
I would say that if you think about someone who's going to hire us as their lawyer, because we're really an extension of the management team, they're paying a monthly fee to us, legal fee, that we've almost self-selected, right? So a CEO or a management team that says, we want this kind of ongoing legal advice, they've already said, we understand that we need structure and we need proactive planning. So I have a feeling that our client base is not necessarily representative of the whole.
Okay.
But we definitely, you know, we talk to companies, and I'm happy to, and we all are happy to spend time with people in their early stage where they're not really ready to hire a lawyer.
Right.
Right. And
right.
If we can give them two or three things to think of and frankly go out and sell, right? Get customers who are willing to pay. There's
get your proof of concept
exactly,
down. Right.
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 And then there's, you know, maybe some more complex issues to focus on, but
are there folks, so let's, you know, in you know, maybe they're not at that point, they're not mature enough to hire your team on. Is there a helpful network, you know, here within
Very
Jacksonville?
Much.
And
there
who
really is.
Who would you point folks to who might kind of be in that position?
Well, I know the Florida Venture, becoming a member of the Florida Venture Forum is probably one of the things I would put high on the list, or
okay.
at least becoming aware of it. There was an early stage conference of maybe a month or so ago
okay.
down in Orlando, and really all the angel networks from across the state were there, and you get an opportunity to talk to investors and what's an investable idea. Make sure you're not going down a path where there's not a big enough market that, you know, depending on what path you want to take for growing your business.
Sure.
PS27, Jim Stallings and his accelerator, UNF has just opened up its incubator.
Right.
So there are lots of opportunities that, like, back to your 2015, at first I'm thinking it hasn't changed that much, but really it has, right? The incubator's now here, and Jim's PS27 is mm-hmm. has really blossomed over the last few years as well.
All right. Well, that's all good for folks who are really looking to
yes.
hit the pavement and make some serious moves right. in their career growth. You know, I wonder too, even though you said that it didn't so much impact your own trajectory, I'd still know that there's quite a gap for women founders getting funding. There is just this enormous disparity. I don't know if it's so much a problem here in Jacksonville, but I'm curious, do you have specific advice for women who are starting out and really want to take a leadership role? How do you help guide them? Is it any different from the rest of, you know, all the clients that you're working with?
I almost think you're reading my mind.
Ah, good to know.
So earlier this month, so just a few weeks ago, so I'm the president of the Association for Corporate Growth
okay.
here locally, first woman president, which is
congratulations.
Thank you. And we partnered with the Jacksonville Women's Business Center and did an event with a panel of from sort of debt to equity. We had LSQ Funding, which is a factoring company. We had a kind of commercial banker, Nelson Bradshaw, BBVA. We had Arsenal Ventures, which is a venture fund out of Orlando, and Carolyn Mathis mm-hmm. From Harborview. And Catherine Miller, also from Raymond James, was the moderator. And our goal really was education, which I think if you're going to go ask for capital or you think you're going to finance your business in a certain way, make sure that you are schooled and versed in what you're asking for, and you're asking the right people the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it was targeted to women, it really wasn't necessarily gender specific.
Sure.
But we thought if we reach out to Women's Business Center and Jen W., Donna Orender, like really try to get some momentum in that space. And I think we're going to look at trying to do something similar on an annual basis.
So are you seeing more women move into that funding role so that they can also then hopefully be more aware of the companies that are being invested in, and perhaps make sure that there's a little bit more diversity in where those investment dollars
right.
are going? Are you seeing that happen
Absolutely.
Here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I would say in Jacksonville and then even across the state. So Florida mm-hmm. Venture Forum, I moderated a panel by January, and really focused on how do we get more women in leadership roles in investment banking firms and private equity and venture firms, because people tend to gravitate to, you know, things that they're familiar with.
Right.
And so if you have a voice that says these are opportunities that we should be looking at, I think some of the statistics, 85% of buying decisions are made by women, right? So there's a market out there and a reason to make sure that the investment community is paying attention,
right,
to women-led businesses that might have a perspective that they didn't think about.
So just a moment ago, you were telling us that the, you know, kind of like the hot sector right now is technology. Are you seeing women come up in that technology sector? It just historically trends male.
Right.
What are you seeing, with folks entering that space? Is there more diversity and not even just, you know, gender wise, but, you know, racial and all sorts of, you know, the different, you know, orientations. So what are you seeing?
I haven't stopped to think and quantify that. But as you're asking the question, I'm sort of going through the list in my head of strong founders, mm-hmm, that are building really interesting technology companies that there's a lot of diversity.
Good.
So
yeah,
I definitely see it. I would still say, predominantly male, male-led, male-dominated, but I think that's the fun thing about venture space is it is creative, it is innovative, and there's so much information out there today, like the Y Combinator example. Mm-hmm. People can educate themselves. They can read Brad Feld's books or, mm-hmm, financing. We have a handbook on financing growth. You can educate yourself in a way, even though you might not have the mentor yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also plenty of people who are willing to mentor some good management team with a great idea.
Right.
Right. They're gonna find
a way. So give us the elevator pitch about what Y Combinator is for the folks. You've mentioned it a couple times now. So just fill folks in if they're not familiar with it.
It's probably one of the first accelerators out in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They have cohorts, I think, twice a year. Dropbox is one of their companies. Twitch, I think, is another one of their companies.
Okay.
So they've had some real big
unicorn
successes.
Right.
And it's the sort of a prototype. And there's other spinoffs and other examples, but
they're the grandfather, right?
They really were the starter. And so things like the SAFE, the Simple Agreement for Future Equity, mm-hmm, is something that Y Combinator put together for a way that early stage companies can look to get capital without the complexity of really bringing on true equity. There's still some complexities, but they sort of worked out a lot of the kinks and made it easy.
Great.
So that founders can focus on getting to sales, right?
Right.
Proof of concept.
Right, right. And did you say that their cohorts are now virtual?
They have some virtual cohorts.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Right. So
really is changing.
Well, it makes it so much more accessible, and it's therefore democratizing, isn't it?
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Techstars might be doing something similar, or at least they're sort of headquartered in Denver, but they are opening up locations all over.
Well, so, all good to know.
Yeah.
All right, Gwen, my final question for you.
Okay.
Look at the career you have had. Look at what you've done. And you've already teased us with you have big designs, big dreams for Advos.
Yes.
Tell us what's the big challenge that you're going to take on next.
Yes. Well, getting back to our why really is to create a place where people are, thrilled clients and thriving team, mm-hmm, and strong community. Those are our three pillars. So part of what motivates us, what inspires us, is the opportunity to bring this to more than just this community, Ponte Vedra. So in February, we brought on a rock star attorney in Tampa. So she's leading the development of Tampa. This year, we're really focused on staying in Florida because of licensing issues, right? Legal, we've got to make sure we're complying with bar regulations. But next year, we'll look to expand outside the state. So kind of client-driven, right? So our clients don't sit in one place anymore.
How about that? Yes.
Yeah. So we're looking at a couple different markets of where we'll go next year.
That is exciting.
It
and
is
are
exciting.
Are they going to be sunny and warm, or are you going to be venturing back into cold turf?
I won't be venturing. That will not be me. But one of the markets, is up in the Northeast.
Oh, how about it?
Yeah. Well, and frankly, two of our lawyers right now, two are licensed in New York. One is licensed in Massachusetts, but chose to move down to Florida. And
So, I mean, the super exciting thing, I mean, congratulations on looking at making that big leap, but then too, you are going to be even better positioned to help your clients 100%. When you understand and you're, you know, physically present. I mean, obviously being virtual is fantastic, but it just allows that relationship to develop when you're physically present in those other spaces. And absolutely. Then you get to feed that knowledge back into the folks that you're helping here locally. So
exactly.
That's how exciting for everybody involved. Yes. Yeah. That's terrific.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Gwen, you know, any final words of advice that you might have for folks that are, you know, perhaps looking to engage you as a law firm? You know, what makes a great fit?
Well, first, I'll say thank you for what you're doing, and thank you to for Cura for investing right in growing entrepreneurship and innovation in this community. That's big. That it's the little things that each of us do that contribute to a really robust community. So.
Thank you
for that.
Well, thank you.
And my advice would be find a network, find a mentor, find people who believe in you. This community is amazing. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's stop. You know, there's enough events where you can bump into each other, but get yourself plugged in.
Terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be great.
All right, Gwen. All right. Thank you so much for your time. This was great.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Innovate Jax. For show notes and a list of all our episodes, go to Furcura.com/InnovateJax. Know a Jacksonville changemaker who'd make a great podcast guest? We want to hear from you. Message us at InnovateJax@Furcura.com. Thanks for listening.